Jeff Steins, our national and presidential expert, noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. The Daily Show is the Iowa Business Report he does down there in Iowa, and the Iowa Politics Report he takes care of at KXEL Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
Matthew, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just for everyone out there, that letter from the union where it described the damage done to the Capitol Police, Jeff had actually sent me that note. You know, Jeff, and I put some things together. I want to get your thoughts on this. You got this note here. I mean, clearly the police were under attack. The Capitol was under attack. Democracy was under attack. The Wall Street Journal's video that shows the Proud Boys' actions that morning and through the day clearly show there was a coordinated effort. The Washington Post story from a week ago talking about how these people were getting coordinated instructions from someone inside the Capitol, either a congressperson, a senator, or an aide, was obviously clearly trying to give them as much information as possible. And the fact that we now know that the Trump organization, Trump campaign, and the White House was funneling money that put on the rally which led to the storming of the Capitol, the terrorist attack on the Capitol building. You know, the more I keep thinking about this, and I know you're kind of one of these people that, you know, is this really worth the country's time to try to impeach Trump a second time? The reality is the more you hear about this, the reality is that this was coordinated. This went on. I can't recall of any other time in history, and maybe you do know, barring the Confederates before the Civil War, that you actually had people working against the American government within the Congress itself.
Well, what I think really makes this is the fact that after the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, members of the Senate, members of the House came back and concluded their work counting the Electoral College votes. The number of Republican senators who gave up the fight, who said, after what I just experienced here, we're going to vote to certify, that to me was surprising. It was a large number, to the point that someone in the House was going to object to a state but couldn't find a senator to sponsor it, and that's why the thing did wrap up when it did. The point is, those people who were there, I've been a bit critical of the hypocrisy of saying, okay, fine, you didn't care when it was outside Capitol Hill. Now all of a sudden you do. But here's why I'm softening that. Because of the fact that as you hear the injuries that were sustained, I mean, there are tipping points, correct? I mean, there are points where you just say, okay, that's it. Now, I will still maintain that it may not be a good idea to do an impeachment trial, and here's why. Because of the fact that it does have some questionable constitutionality, would it not be better to do something like censure? And there is the movement that I'm understanding on both sides of the aisle, people working together to say, is there some way we can get a sure deal? It's almost like a plea bargain in a criminal case. I go back to my time as a criminal defense attorney where you would say, do you run the risk of going forward with a trial with an uncertain result, or do you take a sure thing? But I'll tell you, the thing I forwarded you, which you shared with the audience, that's breathtaking. And that's, again, why I say a number of these people on Capitol Hill who were staunch defenders of the president kind of toned it down. And I bet it's because they saw this and they knew more than we did at the time. And now we're all learning about it. And that is truly frightening.
Two things in one. Trump's been impeached a second time. I mean, that's not debatable. The trial is what is going to be going on in the Senate.
Yes.
So he's already been impeached. But the reality is, you mentioned the word plea. They're the moderate Republicans particularly are pleading with Democrats saying, you know, don't go through this. And from everything I've read from the constitutional lawyers, this is very legal for them to do something of this nature. They themselves quite literally pointed at the 14th Amendment saying, you can't do this. You know, which, I mean, those were the amendments, I think, that were passed in the days after the Civil War saying, you know, because there was that concern. You know, you can't be a former pro-Confederacy politician who's still working for the Confederacy while in the U.S. government. And that's why those laws apply. I think the reality is this: you're not going to have the same impeachment trial that happened, regardless of whether you think it's going to happen, it should happen or not. It's going to happen. you're not going to have the same impeachment trial because you're going to have the Democrats setting the rules, not Mitch McConnell. Mm-hmm. And as you just said, you know, you start reading some of these quotes of, oh, they were getting fed information from inside. They were clearly coordinated. There's, you know, you already have some people starting to flip on this. If you get enough information, and especially if arrows start pointing to some of Trump's closest allies within the Congress who have already been kind of, you know, people are starting to raise a little eyebrows against guys like Gosar and Mo Brooks and that, you know, psychopath from Colorado, whatever her name is. But if, you know,
that narrowed it down, the psychopath from Colorado as opposed to the one from Georgia.
Well, but it tells you a lot. I could just say that the psychopath from Georgia or the psychopath from Colorado, we know exactly who I'm talking about. It's Steve King is the psychopath from Iowa. Just FYI, just in case anyone's missing.
Yeah, he's no longer in there.
I know. But if you look at this, I mean, especially the connections with the financing, I don't know. I understand Republicans are going to not convict him because that's, you know, they would rather all get voted out of office before, you know, going down the Nixon path again.
It's also a matter of to that very narrow point that you're almost giving Republicans a way out. First of all, let's go to your first point. Mitch McConnell is not setting the rules. Absolutely correct. And although at this point he seems to be inclined to vote for impeachment, so I'm not sure if you might want him on that side. But look, I think if you said to a sitting U.S. senator who I've heard legal analysts like Jonathan Turley, I respect him. I don't think he is a partisan either direction per se. He doesn't think it's constitutional. Well, you don't think you used to like Turley, didn't you?
Turley has always seemed to have been a guy who will, you know, it's kind of like the Second Amendment. Right to bear arms. Well, you forgot the well-regulated militia part of that. And that's one of the things that the Second Amendment does show. It shows, and the Supreme Court has said, you can regulate guns, that sort of thing. They, if you read the entire Constitution, that it's there. Turley is a guy that seems to have selective memory loss when it comes to stuff that kind of bumps him down the road. But that's just my opinion on him.
That's fair. And here's my only point, that is if you are a sitting member of the U.S. Senate, you might be able to give yourself some cover back home by saying he was already out of office, and so therefore impeachment is to remove someone from office, and so therefore I'm voting against a conviction at the impeachment trial because I think in essence it's a moot point, but he was a bad, bad person. You give them that out. But if you start talking censure, that's a whole different thing because you have different standards in terms of how many have to vote in favor. And I bet you you'd get a lot of people in the old school Republican Party, not the Trump Republican Party, who would sign on to that. Because you cannot make a public statement, Matt, as a U.S. senator saying the president showed bad judgment. He showed bad leadership. I don't think it was high crimes and misdemeanors, but it was bad, 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 bad. Well, then that's censure. I mean, you cannot have it both ways. So in essence, you're almost giving Republicans a way out by saying you're going to go all the way out for a trial when you really could pin them down as saying Trump is a bad person who should be censured. Now, I see it both. I can see the benefits for the nation, frankly, both ways. I see the benefits for the Democrats both ways. But I think there are some weaselly little arguments you can make that actually make it better for Democrats if it's censure because you'd get many more Republicans signing on.
I don't think you want to know the truth is no. In my mind, you're just asking me personally. It's high crimes and misdemeanors. He clearly coordinated this. And if you watch the speeches that were given before they marched on the Capitol, and especially when you realize that someone within the Congress was helping them, something was going on here that wasn't just a angry mob that, has bought into a bunch of false news about an election.
Take that point because I'm glad you mentioned that. Take that point because it occurred to me today, and we talked about this last week, that I said Trump was being rather silent, and you said, well, yeah, they took away all of his social media, which is true. But during that last week or so, even for him, you know, he had other ways to get messages out. He has been remarkably quiet and subdued, and I don't think it's for a period of self-reflection. I think maybe he was getting some of these same reports. In other words, is there a chance that some of the bluster is kind of filtered away because there might be a thought of, holy cow, people really did die. Holy cow, people have been maimed. And it's the same people that he said, law enforcement, you know, that he would defend till the end. So the point is, I don't know that there's a moment where he looks and says, holy cow, what have I done? I don't believe that, but I do believe there may be a modicum of it, because otherwise, you know,
he's that horrible. I mean, I'm not going to be Susan Collins. All right. I'm not going to be Susan Collins after the first impeachment thing. Well, I'm sure he learned his lesson now. No, he didn't. And he won't, because that's Donald Trump. And I mean, he tried to overthrow the government of the United States to stay in power.
It's a great Susan Collins impression that you do. So, you know, I'm glad you're able to trot it out.
No, I can't do that. But I will say what the more stark realization is, and I mean, this is something I've been talking about, and it's just the reality of it. The Republican Party is so desperate for the racist, the white supremacist, the Nazis, the Proud Boys. They're so desperate for these fringe elements to vote for them that they cannot just outright. I mean, some of them can. Mitt Romney is shockingly looking mildly presidential again, as he basically says, no, there's no debate here. This is bad. But you can't. The reality is there are so many Republicans, and especially the most brazen Republicans in the House are the ones in these gerrymandered districts where that seems to be almost all their voters. The reality is that this is a real problem for them, because this is who their base is. And if they basically go on out there and hold Trump accountable, that base, they already know that base is not going to show up. I mean, in Minnesota, we had Jennifer Carnahan getting mad at Ken Martin. Jennifer Carnahan's the Minnesota GOP chair. Ken Martin's the DFL chair up here. And she got mad at him because he went out there, you're saying you're either a Nazi or you're on the side of democracy. And she's like, how dare you create such a divide? And he's like, what? Now, I'm paraphrasing greatly, but it's basically, that was the gist of it. How dare you create division? It's like, you're taking the side of the Nazis here? No.
You're paraphrasing by using the word what? Yeah, that's a paraphrase.
Well, exactly. But I mean, this is a huge problem for the Republicans. Clearly, the problem they have is that if the people who love Trump, who support the racists and support the white supremacists, support the Proud Boys and the Nazis, if they don't show up, they will not win.
Well, okay, first of all, they're politicians, and so they're going to be humping for any vote they can. And the problem is, when you make a deal with the devil, sometimes you have to pay up.
Yes.
And I'm not being flip about that by any stretch.
No, but you're not. But it's a matter of fact, it's a spot on point.
Okay, and now, did you see, now this makes your point, I think, even stronger. Did you see where there was some poll taken, and I believe it or not, but they said, what if there is a new third party that Trump is spearheading? Call it the Patriot Party, whatever these names are that people are snapping up, hoping that Trump will then buy the URL from them. Okay, it's a Patriot Party. It would, first of all, virtually exclusively siphon support from the current Republican Party. Not exclusively, but virtually. And the Patriot Party, as run by Donald Trump, would be the second most popular party in America behind the Democrat Party, the Democrats, and the Republicans would automatically be the number three party. Now, there's nobody in the Republican Party who is figuring this out, because, you know, they think Trump is gone. If, you know, ding dong, the witch is dead. Now it's our party again. It isn't. This is the problem they have. Now, what do you think about this story of House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy going to meet with Donald Trump?
Because I think that story broke the day before he left office, and almost overnight, because that's exactly when it happened. Almost overnight, all of a sudden is, hey, aren't we being a little harsh on the Nazis? And you're like, where is this coming from? And
CNN I'd seen it elsewhere. You're right. Jeff Zeleny, CNN, reporting literally minutes ago. The meeting is going to take place in Florida tomorrow, and McCarthy initiated the meeting. Here's the quote from CNN. It's part of an effort to get back into the good graces of the former president. Okay, let me reset, please. The House Minority Leader is traveling to the home base of the now former president to get back into the now former president's good graces while an impeachment trial is scheduled in the United States Senate.
And we should mention 3 weeks ago that if that mob would have gotten McCarthy, he would have been killed too.
So I'm trying to make some sense of this, and I'm not sure I can. I mean, truly, what if you're Kevin McCarthy, where's your upside here? I just don't understand it.
Wait, and when, one last thing here on this. Portman's resignation, he's not going to run again. You know, is this really just saying that unless you are part of that far-right lunatic fringe and you're perfectly okay with that, you're okay with the Proud Boys and the 3%ers and the Nazis, if you're okay with that, you can stay in the Republican Party. But if you're not, well, you're either going to get primaried and we're going to get rid of you anyway, or you might as well leave on your own. Is that really where we're looking at the standard now for the Republican Party?
Portman, I think, was a matter of it's a concession that the Senate is not going to go back into Republican hands during his next term. In other words, he's saying, all right, I'm now in the minority. There is no path I see toward the Republican Party getting the majority in the U.S. Senate. So why do I want to bang my head against a wall? That's how I view that. Now, is that a part of what you just discussed? Sure. Mm-hmm. You do have other things that are interesting. I mean, Iowa Senator Charles Grassley is 87. He would be 90 when his next term starts. He's on the ballot in 2022. He told me a week ago he had not yet made a decision. It had nothing to do with what was going on in Washington. It had to do with the fact he was 80-whatever years old. So you may see some other retirements not connected to the scenario you laid out. Portman, though, it does sound like, why do I need this aggravation?
Yeah,
I might get primaried. I'd have to capitulate to this side of the party I don't want. We're not going to be in the majority anyway. How about I just collect my pension?
And let's face it, all of these guys, unless they are the most ardent Trump supporters, are about to get primaried. And this is going to make a mess for the Republican Party over the next 4 years for sure. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk about the new President Biden and some of the changes that have happened, which have actually been refreshing reminders of what the presidency used to be like. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, your take. I saw Press Secretary Jen Psaki, I believe is how you say it, P-S-A-K-I, Jen Psaki.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to be, okay, first day aside, every day she's done a press conference, it feels so, you don't realize what the press department and the Trump White House, how much of a clown car that was. Until you see someone, and this is not just a Democrat thing. I mean, W. Bush had some decent. I mean, I didn't agree with like Ari Fleischer and people like that. I didn't agree with the spin they were putting. But at least they would actually talk to the press. It wasn't this, insult fest and lie fest. Psaki, boy, Jen Psaki, she is top notch. It's a nice, refreshing reminder of what the presidency is supposed to be, especially when it comes to relating to the press itself.
What you are seeing with the entire Biden White House is a return to pre-Trump normatives, if you will.
Yes.
And you're right. That transcends political party. Now, frankly, I don't care for her. I don't think she comes to the table with great command. That's not a political statement. There have been many other Democrats who have done better. And I'm certainly willing to give somebody the first month, for crying out loud. I'm not going to overanalyze it. But it is just a very different thing. And they are sticking to message. This is one of the things that the folks who tried to run the Trump press office initially, they were saying, all right, Mr. President, here's what we do. There's a theme of the day, and that way we control the narrative. And they would sketch out all of these things, and it would be infrastructure, and it would be labor, and it would be all these things. And he'd tweet something at 6 in the morning and blow the whole thing to smithereens. And what you have seen is every single day that she's been out there, she's been out there with people. And it's like, today, it's climate change day. This day, it's monetary policy day. And they are sticking to message. Mm-hmm. And again, that is, frankly, corporate communication 101.
Well, and I think she's doing a great job personally. And I love the question about Sarah Huckabee Sanders running for Arkansas governor. And he says, what do you think about this? He said, where's the concern level for President Biden on that? He said, and she looked, she goes, you mean the Republican primary for the Arkansas governor in 2022? It's pretty low on the old horizon right now. I thought that was a really nice rebuttal. But even Biden.
No, I agree with that. But some of these questions are so inane.
Yes.
Right?
Well,
that kind of a response.
Well, and is it just that the media had to dumb down everything so much in the past that it had to be who could grunt the loudest? Because, I mean, I watched Biden when, you know, who is a Ducey's kid, was screaming something at him on Fox News when he got to us. He was like, what did you talk to the Russian premier about? He said, we talked about you. He says hi. You know, it was off the cuff. It was there. But it was kind of one of those things. I was like, oh, that's right. This guy can think on his feet and he can move and he can, you know, and yeah, he doesn't mind talking to the right wing guys, but they had better be prepared for a president who's not going to just take stuff from them. He's going to throw it back at them.
Well, and I will tell you, having covered Biden just a very little bit in Iowa, no expert by any stretch, he's got an edge, and you have seen a little bit, and that edge can turn, not in a bad way. I mean, not any more than anybody else, okay? But he's got this the image of Genial Joe, and I've seen him rip a few people, and you know, again, I thought the comment to the Fox reporter was hilarious. What did you talk about? We talked about you. You know, just like the same time, do you remember Biden was on the bicycle and they yelled and they said, have you picked your vice president? Yeah, it's going to be you. You know, it's
and when he
the
does,
thing is, if Trump had tried that, he couldn't have pulled it off.
Oh, he can't, because and you've seen the juxtaposition with Fox or Daily Show showed, he just yelled at people. But Biden, when he does get mad, he gets it's a pointed anger, which is good.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's not an eruption around the entire White House, which we've been led to believe was the case for the previous 4 years. That is true.
Once again, Jeff Stein, find his books over at Next Chapter Books, and the Iowa Politics Report will publish a little bit later on. We'll also get this spotlighted as well. Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Talk to you next week, sir.
Talk to you next week.